A wonderful afternoon. Today's topic, maintaining purity in Christian courtship. This may be a very familiar topic to many of us. And many of us would have assumed or would have thought that we have known it all. Right? That's why looking from the participants here, those that are relevant are not really here. Because these are basically talking about courtship. Courtship, of course, as we understand, are for young men, young adults who are actually moving into a relationship. There must be a target, there must be an objective. So this topic may be a bit, some of the younger people may say, oh, I've heard it many, many times already. So there's nothing new. But I hope that this afternoon, I may be able to share with you a fresh perspective of what is courtship and what is dating. Many times we use these two terms interchangeably, and many do not really understand. Indeed, there's a clear, distinct line between courtship and dating. There's also an end point towards this definition. The only thing I can only say is that I cannot give you a definition of today's definition because time has changed. What we're going to share this afternoon is definition of courtship according to the Word of God. And some say, oh, Bible 2,000 years ago written, many years ago. And how can it can be applied to today's context? So I'm sorry that I can't give you a modern or redefinition or reimagining the word courtship and dating. But as a church, we are called according to behave according to the right attitude, according to the Word of God. So we have got to go back to the Word of God to expect what is the courtship and what is actually what the Bible says that you should not do. That is, I will put it under the category of dating. So let's try to define it. And I hope that by the end of this short hour or less than that, you will be able to take away three key points, three takeaways, right? Let me start by saying, number one, your takeaway number one would be, must courtship or dating leads to marriage. Who says? Of course, they say we are going to refer back to God. Sorry, I cannot use the modern day definition to say what is courtship was dating, but back to the good old Bible that God has given to us. That's where we are focusing in. And then the takeaway number two is the do's and don'ts in courtship. Why? So that you do not have regrets. Forewarned is to be forearmed. Right? So what is best and what should we do? Where do you find it? In the Bible, so the do's and don'ts. And then the next thing is elements that will lead to a happy and lasting marriage. Because if courtship is to end in marriage, there must be an end point. The end point must be something good, not something messy, not something sorrowful, not something disrespectful, but something good, which is, if you talk about marriage, everybody looks to a happy marriage. Like we read in many stories books, they live happily ever after. That's the end point, isn't it? So I pray that by the end of this the short sharing, we will have this takeaway. Why are we talking about courtship? Why are we not talking about or recommending dating in this context of definition that I'm going to share? Okay, so let's look at the background, the book of Thessalonians. The book of Thessalonians. Let's look at it. Who wrote the book? Before we go further, let us once again ask God for illumination and let's ask God to give us wisdom as we study this word together. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing each one of us here. We thank thee for this topic that we are going to share and that we can draw lessons from thy word that has preserved for our learning. Lord, we know that thy word has been written years ago, yet it is still relevant today because Men do not change, thy word do not change, and thou knowest what's best for us, and this word that thou preserve are applicable and good for us, and let us learn lessons from here and to apply accordingly to our lives. Lord, may the Holy Spirit continue to be our teacher and guide. May we also have a teachable heart and a heart that will do thy work as well according to thy word. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. And may thou continue to forgive us our sins, that thou will indeed bless us and continue to provide and protect us. Lord, help us as we continue in this sharing in this afternoon. Lord, for this we pray in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. Okay, the book of Thessalonians is a letter written to the believers living in the city of Thessalonica. Does the city still exist today? Yes. The city today is the modern day Thessaloniki in Greece, which is still a very vibrant metropolis steeped in history and culture. The church in Thessalonica was founded by the Apostle Paul in AD 51, during his second missionary journey. As you know, Paul made three missionary journeys that we know in the Bible, but this was in the second missionary trip, Acts 17 verses 1 to 9. The church in Thessalonica was in, of course, Thessalonica. It was a city, a very leading and prosperous city, situated along the BC trade route, having a very fine harbor. That means it's also a port, right? And sitting on a very rich and well-watered plain. So it's a very rich, very well-provided, and a lot of people coming in and go because it is a port, right? Foreigners coming and go. These strategic locations and political status make the city, Thessalonica, a very thriving commercial hub. Maybe you like to compare today with Singapore or London. Very busy port, right? People come and go. And because of this, it's also a melting pot of various cultures. Because people all over the world come to do trading. They stay there. They market here. They move around. So it's also a melting pot. There's a mixture contributing to its diversity of new ideas. So they bring a lot of new thinkings, right? Which also bring in things like modern thinking, liberal thinking. So what was noted is that many commentators say that because it's such a cosmopolitan city of mixtures of people coming and flowing, right, from all over, because it was a port and busy trading nations, immorality was very common among the population. So there was a lack of morality. So it was very, very, very liberal. So Paul, in his stay in Thessalonica, he was very concerned, because it was newly founded, that some of the believers may fall into moral decay, moral laxness. So he wrote this letter to warn them, be careful, guard your body, guard this, guard that, no? To make sure that they are living a holy life. So this was written in this context of Paul loving them. And Paul told them not to blend in, not to immerse, but to set apart themselves from the moral laxness that is prevalent in that society, like many big cities today as well. And what the lessons we're going to learn today when Paul wrote to them, particularly on this verse, is about abstaining from fornication, right? We shall go word by word later on and define the word sanctification, fornication, and other words as well. So, what is courtship and what is dating? Are there any differences? Or are there any similarities? Often they are used, as I said, interchangeably. Even many of us, maybe before this, many of us are guilty of that, use it interchangeably. Interchangeability without giving too much thoughts. Simply courtship, of course, is a relationship between two. Courtship, can it be three? Can it be four? So basically, you talk about courtship between two, a couple. Right? Here, in Christian context, we talk about male-female. Male-female context. So Paul was writing to the Christians. And today, I believe it's still relevant to us today. Simply courtship is intentional. That means very intent. You go in a courtship with your eyes open, right? Purpose-driven. That's objective why you go in a courtship. And it's marriage-focused. Dating is casual. Then let's talk about dating. Dating by definition is casual. Okay lah, let's go out lah. It's very casual. Not much thought given, just go along. Emotion driven means I like the person, why not? Let's try and see. Let's see how. Emotion driven. There's no real defined serious thought before you go out to be with the person. Exploratory, try lah, see how it is. So, and often without long term accountability. So in other words, that dating is different from courtship. Courtship, as I said, is more what? Focused, intentional, purpose-driven, with marriage endpoint focused. Dating, let me repeat, is more of casual. It comes along, I go. Emotion-driven. Just let your feeling lead you along. Huh? What, the person handsome, beautiful, I drop along, right? And exploratory, try, feel, never mind. Exploratory. Right, and without long-term accountability, if it first feels, you know, I'm answerable to myself, nobody else, so it's okay. So dating is very casual in that sense, very loose, up to you. You know, so it could actually end up with disasters. Never mind, I'm okay. I just take it. You know, after all, I'm accountable to myself. You know, I'm okay because I went in without having any objective. So it's very loose. Okay. So today's dating, it's not just about one-to-one and how you meet up with one another or how you select. Today's dating, also there are many websites, dating websites. And unfortunately, today, you sit down, you will also hear that many, even Christians, resort to online dating, selecting the partners. Statistically speaking, if you look at the background check, dating websites are created for people to meet. And also, you look at it, you look at the outcome of research on some of these dating websites is many people who list themselves out there are in for fun, short term. And many are looking for, of course, even if you talk about marriage, it's not such a serious marriage, it's just a short term, get what they want and they get out. So divorce follow through could be quite high because you just go in, you get it and you come out. And because there's no clear, because this is what I said to you just now is from research done, it's not from me. So because there's no predetermined, you just went in, and many who actually list themselves in the website for dating are people who want to have fun, no seriousness. So without that fundamental right, what makes you think that you're going to be successful in getting what you want? So this is not from me, this is from statistics, research. People went in to say who are the people up there for dating. Of course, in the same breath, I wouldn't say that there are no non-serious ones. There are still serious ones. But of course, these are more minimal than more. So be careful. Scamming today is not only applied to money, finances. Scamming today is also about emotion. Scamming your love, scamming your emotions, scamming your money. In the name of love, in the name of marriage. So this digital website provides you a platform, provides the person a platform to scam as well. So be forewarned, right? Let me repeat, I'm not saying that all who list themselves out there are scammers or of ill intent. They are very minimal, right? But at the same time, it is not a right platform for us to go in there to search, to get attached. Because many are actually there for short thrill, short span of fun. Okay, this is what research has shown. I just shared with you. Okay, I've broken this definition of courtship and dating into six basic facts. Can see, but if you can't see, so never mind. I will actually go through with you. For courtship, fact number one is for courtship, it is intent and serious. There's a there's a desire to marry. That means marriage. When people go about courtship, it's about marriage. That means there's a purpose driven. Huh? Dating basically is defined as casual, just move along. It may, of course, develop into serious relationship. That'd be too late. Let's say, for example, you go for dating, you have someone who's not serious, which you think you're serious, then you may get serious with him, whereas you do not know that whether he or she is serious or not. So you could get into that type of serious relationship without the intent of the other person to go along with you, because the objectives are different. One go in with fun, the other go in with intent to marriage. So you could develop into that direction. Right? Of course, prayerfully, both will go in with intent of marriage. But dating, likelihood is like that. You may get into a serious relationship, one-sided. Okay? So marriage, that's why marriage may or may not be the ultimate goal for people who are on this website looking. So you say that this is living our life, you know, living your life. Some people say, okay, I go to a dating website, I'm very bored. Some people go to dating without intent, so they are very bored. So, okay, this is what I live, my life. I just go in to do dating, right? I live only once. I just want to feel how dating is all about, what courtship is all about. I just go in. So this is the thinking behind this when you talk about casual relationship, non-seriousness. I just want to try and see, not serious, okay? Number two is courtship is basically more structured. More structured means think through, having KPIs, what you want to go in for. You're very serious in what you want, right? So it's more structured. You want to make sure that there's no mix up in what you want. You define your culture, right? So some people say that I don't mind any not being racialist, but many people also they actually do. Come from a different background and they marry a person from another background, another culture. So they may end up in having problem because they're not ready. But somehow once you fall in love, temporarily you say, okay, whoever it is doesn't matter. But because you've not defined what you want, that's why you went in blinded and you get yourself entangled, then you got problem. So for courtship, you go in with the KPIs, that means the structured thinking. I only want to marry people of my same culture. So it won't get upset later on. So courtship is very intentional. It's driven. So you talk about your culture. Right? You talk about religious practice. I'm a Christian. I still only want to marry Christian. Right? I don't want to marry a non-Christian. So courtship is like that. Driven. So you won't end up with disappointment. It's like setting it out there when you work. It's all like setting our own KPIs, what you want. Okay? And of course that once you set up your KPIs or your objectives or what you want and your partner, then you, of course, you have a clear expectations on who you caught with his behavior or her behavior, right? And then you can able to communicate and you can see the progress and it will lead to your end point, what you want. So a courtship is very intense, very structured, you know what you want. So you won't mess up when you get into a marriage situation later on, you get messed up, you regret. Yeah, I should have thought about it. Nobody advised me. So this is what courtship is all about. On the other side of the table, is dating is less formal. Allow individuals to explore their feelings and compatibility without strict guidelines. Just flow along. Let our accountability to self and may result in repent later. And this informal setting is like, okay, I just want to enjoy life's journey. Someone pick me up, someone give me, take me to a movie, someone give me makan, and just go along, enjoy my trip. Right? No intent, no purpose. Just dating the person. The fellow just be my companion, my driver. Whether you're male or female, doesn't matter. So, dating is like that, informal. Getting along, enjoying your life. You think that this is the way that life is all about, exploratory. Point number three is, normally courtship would involve the family as well because the person is very serious. Marriage is a long-term commitment, right? When your marriage happens, it's just not marriage between the couple, but also the family is involved itself. That's why sometimes when you marry a wrong person, family has got a problem. So courtship is serious in the sense that family commitment must be there. It is God honoring to involve family as well. parents oftentimes may or may not be involved, but they are aware of your going out with this guy, right? They are aware. They may, parents may be involved in giving permission to the child to say, okay, this boy is okay. Okay, I give you full marks for that, you know. Oh, no, I think you better make sure that this guy is right guy, because I don't think it fits you, you know. Right? It matches what you're doing, right? So courtship is long term, so there's always a family involvement. And it's God honoring as well, you know, because parents get involved, yeah? Honor thy parents, right? In other words, they also keep their parents in the loop, right? It's a formal arrangement, right? Everybody gives you a thumbs up. You get to give you the support. The other side of the chart is dating typically involves minimal family input. Maybe involved more with friends, you know. Friends, oh, the person, okay lah, the guy can sing, can dance, so okay lah, got drive a good car, why not? You see? All more for flashy commitment, flashy needs, right? So parents may not be aware until very much later. It's about self-interest. Dating is about self-interest between you and me, self-interest, right? And it always says, it is my life, it is your life. Why go and involve your friends? Why go and involve your parents? Why want to talk about this, you know, church? Why, you know, you go your way, I go my way, but let's meet every Friday or whenever we free meet, you know? So dating is about your own selfish interest, his own selfish interest. Let's move around. Because you are bored, I'm bored. Now we got friends to talk to one another. But without long-term commitment, whether you want to get married, or whether you share the same faith, whether you share the same likes or not, doesn't matter. As long as we're able to actually occupy our time. Number four, courting about also setting moral boundaries. Setting moral boundaries is about responsibilities and accountability. Responsibilities and accountability not only to yourself, but also to your parents, your church, and also to the other side as well, because the other side may be serious, you're not serious. So when you set boundaries for yourself, as I said, even for the other side, to know that what you expect of him or her, and also respecting your own body, and also respecting God and your parents as well. So setting moral boundaries, no physical intimacy until marriage. Emphasizing emotion and spiritual alignment. Spiritual alignment with what? Spiritual alignment with your faith. Right? The Bible says that later on when you read the verse, you said no fornication. Fornication means what? Physical intimacy outside marriage between a couple. So when you talk about courting, you're setting boundaries. You're talking about abstain from unnecessary or physical intimacy. That's it. You set boundaries. Right? So it's about taking care of yourselves, you know, and do not let other people take advantage of you. Many times you hear of a courtship or dating where one party has been taken advantage of. It's too late, isn't it? Right? Yeah, of course, the other side is, if you don't draw boundaries, it may involve, because some, as I said, some of the people go dating, they are for fun, for entertaining. So it may involve varying levels of intimacy, depending on the individuals and the comfort levels. There's out there, you hear of, if you are friends, I'm sure you are friends out there in the secular world, sometimes you hear of a friend having this boyfriend where they go somewhere on their own, on the party, you know, and sometimes you hear them having a close relationship as well. Right? Many of us hear this. I heard you this. I'm sure you hear some of them. You hear this. So there must be cut off points. For a non-Christian, they may say, it's my body, so what? You know, who's going to tell me I'm morally wrong or spiritually wrong? But as a Christian, as you said, that this letter was written by Paul to the Christians, believers, the young Christian believers, to make sure that they preserve their body in sanctification. In sanctification means in holiness, in purity. So Christians are not to say, take their bodies lightly. Christians are to make sure that they honor God, honor their own body. And this is what it says, you know, that we must make sure that if you go for courtship, make sure you know where to draw the boundary. You're not only respecting your own body, respect yourself, you also show your testimony, your witnessing to the person whom you caught with. That means, don't play with me. You know, I'm not here for fun. you got to draw a line. Unless you yourself want to go for fun, that's a different story. But should you, as a Christian, give a thought. Give a thought. Next one, number 5.5. Yes. Courtship normally is generally longer and more intentional, as I said, and focusing on compatibility and long-term potential to meet each other, right? So because normally you want to say, okay, I want my, if I marry, I want this person to be what? Home loving, to be caring, to be this, to be that, right? So you know, and normally you may take time, you don't rush through, unless you fell into some physical problem, you know, you cannot do abortion, you have to get married quickly, then you go for a marriage. But no, because if you have your courtship, you won't end up this way. Right? Because you don't give yourself simply, because you know that your body, your chastity is to be given to your husband when you get married, not to any Tom, Dick, Harry. They go out to have fun. There are many out there who are street talkers who can actually gain your confidence, gain your trust, and then you give yourself to him. And then once you get this what he wants, it could be a possibility. Goodbye, see you. Next target, please. And they move on. Do you want to be involved in this? You have to decide. It's you and your body and God. You have to decide. But as I said, this to point out to you that there's a difference. So, dating is always short-term or could be long-term. Depends on both parties. If it does not meet personal expectation or when interest dies, you say goodbye and gone. No hard feeling. Of course, that no hard feeling can also be seen, but normally one side will get hurt because one side are serious. One side taking the dating as a courtship, but the other side take this as a dating, no commitment, we are just have fun and enjoy ourselves. So if you don't get your definition correct, whereas this chap expect to be dating, no commitment, whereas you accept this as a courtship, what do you think? That's a gap. So when he say goodbye to you, to him nothing but you know that we are here for fun. But they say, no, I thought I'm courting you, you're courting me. So, heartbreak. So be careful. So you must know the difference between courtship and dating. And you decide. So, in today, there are many couples not married, but still staying together. What word do we use? Cohabit. Right? Actually, they are long-term dating, staying together. Because they can say goodbye to them, to one another, without any legal entanglement. And there's no legal rights to one another. They just live together. I love you, you love me. What's wrong with staying together? Marriage is just a piece of paper. It's not important. Ask yourself, if you are a Christian, cohabiting, is it fornication? Some they even have children. You know it's wrong. But the world says, it's okay, I love you, love me, what for, just sign a piece of paper. But you don't forget that cohabiting, you don't have legal rights. When they say goodbye to one another, what is his, what is yours, you may have nothing. That's enough from legal aspect. So cohabiting is definitely wrong. It's not that we are grown up already, my parents don't object. And the problem with parents is, okay, they don't get married, they stay together, okay. These parents have got a problem. If there's no split, it's a matter of when. If they say there's really no split, it's God's mercy. But you get nothing if something happens. So dating, cohabitation, to me, is like dating long term. We just try out. Maybe you get married later, maybe we don't. I can walk out anytime. You get nothing? Okay, don't blame me. You don't say you want to commit suicide, have nothing to do with me. Because they keep me with their eyes open. So think about it. Think about it, just dating. And number 6 is, courtship is rooted in tradition. As I said, tradition means what do you expect to have. Because when you want to go dating, you want to, as I said, with the end point, which is marriage in mind. Of course, in your mind, I want to have this girl to be my wife, who must be like that. Or if I'm a girl, I say I want to be, I'm going out in courtship, I want my man to be like that. So in other words, you have a KPI, you have an objective, because that's your end point. So it's something that even the forefathers, before these boring days that we have today in liberalism, today's society, where open sexes mix with one another very carefully. Those days during my time, holding hands means you are serious, you know, getting married, you know. Nowadays, holding hands, never mind, fun only, what's the meaning? It's friend only, nothing, holding hands, no meaning, one. Even a kiss, give you a kiss, never mind, everybody give a kiss. Those days, one kiss means, sorry, man, you are mine already, you know, can't go anywhere else. Now, this is different. So, the standards has changed. So, you must know. So, today, do not think that today's culture of modernism is good for your marriage. The answer, yes, short term, having fun is okay. But long term, you may, as we say, rugi, you know. You may really miss it. You may find yourself, I shouldn't have done that. So, in summary, very important is that you must understand the fundamentals, the difference between what you want, what's the end point, whether you should go for fun or whether you forego the fun and immediately take your time, God willing, when the right one comes along, be serious and then go for really understand what is courtship, what is dating, so you don't have a heart that will be soaring, heart that you find that you cannot mend it back. Because once your heart is broken, you know, just a glass, a mirror. When you drop a mirror on a glass, what happened? Can you patch it back? Yes, even you can, but it's not going to be the original glass. The wound will be there. Unless you're happy with it, so be forewarned. So, courtship and dating, there's a fine line. After understanding this, you decide whether you are now going through courtship or dating. If you're going through dating with that endpoint in mind, you're still having fun, and as a Christian, you pull back. No, I should not be involved. You pull back. Even you say, okay, I'm a Christian, I want to go ahead. You are calling yourself, exposing yourself to an open sin which Paul tells us not to involve in, which is involvement in activities that you should avoid in the first place before it leads to disasters in your life. So let us talk about sanctification. We just read what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, Christian. He says that the will of God is for you to sanctify, that you should abstain from fornication. So when you talk about fornication, what does fornication mean? Paul tells them, you know, young Christians, do not follow the Gentiles, do not follow the unbelievers, do not follow these people who practice immorality. Yes, you look at them, they seem to be having fun, they seem to be, the boy of the town, you know, the life of the town, you know. Says that, abstain from fornication. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify means to set apart. To set apart. To be purified. You belong to God. That's sanctification. This is teaching. Sanctify. Set apart for God, not only your vessels, your body, but sanctification also includes your thinking, your fleshy body, your desires, and your relationship. It always involves your relationship, who we are entangled with on a one-to-one basis. Right? So sanctification means your words, your thoughts, your fleshy desires. Be careful. There should be no mistake in making and compromising when you talk about separation. There should be a clear path, pure light on your path when you talk about sanctifying your body. Sanctifying your body is in words, thoughts, and action. Not just words, but practice it out. Because Paul was very worried that Christians are falling into the worldly fun or worldly lives of the heathen people, and they are actually having marrying and divorce and remarrying and things like that. So Paul says, refrain yourself. So let's talk about sanctification. I talk about separation, purity, belonging to God, right? In words, thoughts, and action. Then what about fornications? Fornication, simply puts in just four words or five words, all forms of sexual intimacy outside of marriage. The Bible also teaches about sexual intimacy belongs exclusively within marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is actually a definition of fornication, but it involves one party is a married individual. That's adultery. Fornication is basically about two unmarried. It's fornication. If one is married, it's called adultery. Okay? So basically it's that there should be no adultery, there should be no fornication. But add up together or under one roof is we talk about sexual activity between two individuals. Clear? Clear or not? Okay. So Paul is very clear. Sanctify your body. Abstain. Abstain means what? Nothing doing. Don't say little bit here, little bit there, never mind. But some people do 100%, I need 10%, never mind. Abstain means 0%. Okay? Don't justify. So the word fornication includes all forms of sexual activity outside of marriage. Commandment number 7, right? Christians are to abstain from fornication and not to justify by saying that, oh, people doing 100%, I need 10%. Right? No, no, no. Or, we are both adults. She said okay, I say okay. What? Who are you to tell me no? So, no justification. Even mutual consent. My parents cannot say anything. My church cannot say anything. The Bible cannot say anything. It's by consent. Paul says no. No means no. Don't justify to say mutual consent. My body wants it to do with you. You are happy. What? Right? And then, don't give excuse. She tempted me or he tempted me. I fell for it. So it's not my fault. I committed fornication. So, in other words, that when Paul says that abstain means, answer is no. That means that whatever reasons, it's no. Don't see people tempt you. I'm weak. No, 100% no. So, no justification. Abstain means abstain. No excuse for committing. So, Paul also realized that we are Christians, but we are still in the human flesh. So there's always a battle between the human flesh and the new man that is with us, the new man, which is the spiritual man. Paul realized that. Where did Paul say that? We know that Paul is very, God used him mightily. He was a sinner. God used him, God saved him. And he wrote more than about half or more of the New Testaments. We know him to be very godly. But he himself talked about the human struggle within him. In the book of Romans chapter 7, I shall read to you, only 2 verses. Of course, the 7 is a lot where he talked about his struggle. I just read 2 verses. He says that, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more than I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, inside our human flesh, even for the Apostle Paul, we expect to be 100%, strong, spiritually strong. But no, he says, no, I'm so struggling. So it's not strange that you have to fight your inner battle. The inner battle, when Paul wrote about not in the lust of concupiscence, the word concupiscence means that the inward desire of flesh, the consistent inward desire of flesh. In other words, that the lust is still in our body, although we are Christians, although we have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the lust is still there. Concupiscence means the lust, the desire is still there, it's still surfacing, still trying to pull us down. Then Paul says that, resist it. You know, he understands that we have a battle to fight, the old self and the new self. The greatest battle of all times for individual Christians is what? The battle within, the struggle within. That's the Christian battle that we have, all of us have. Even King David, the man after God's own heart, we know there's also an internal battle. Committed many sins as well. But he quickly come back to repent and do it right again. So Paul says that, reminded the Christians, not in the lust of concupiscence, means, deep, intense, inward desire of the flesh. Do not have this deep desire, intense of the flesh. Do not resist this desire of the flesh. Because this is the internal thing that is very difficult to deal with. The flesh, the law of sin indwells in the old man. Right? You may love God. All of us love God, right? Every time we come to church, we love God. God teaches us, we love God. But inwardly, we all know we still struggle. It's not a shame to admit that we still struggle. That's why we covert prayer for one another. right? When the pastor says, or our brother in Christ says, please pray for me, lah. Please pray for me that I do not sin. Please pray for me, you know, I'm traveling. Please pray for me that I wouldn't fall into temptation. Please pray for me that in my workplace I won't be tempted to do things that are ungodly. So all these are worrying, you know, we know that we shouldn't do, but somehow we do. So when he says that, please pray for me, there's the lust of the flesh that's inside us that points us out away from God. But there's a warring battle here. So the flesh does not love God. The flesh tends to sin against God. So that's the struggle. You may desire purity, you may desire sanctification, but your flesh resists it. That's why in Matthew 26:41 it says, right? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Right? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So this is very real. A conflict between flesh versus spirit, desire versus obedience, lust versus holiness. That's the struggle. Purity is obeying with spiritual conviction, a discipline, and surrender to God's word. Purity is surrender to God's word, you know. It's not easy. So the next one, the Paul talked about your vessel of honor. When we talk about the vessels here, of course we talk about sexual immorality, talk about fornication. So the vessel here means our body. Our body. So that's a vessel. Of course, that vessel could mean any other things as well. The ship is a vessel. Aeroplane is a vessel, right? But here, when we pause specifically in this verse, these two verses talk about your vessels. Keep it pure. They talk about our body. Our body is not casual, just did up. It's not like that, right? Our body is not disposable. Use and throw. Do you use and throw your body? No, we preserve it. We exercise. We keep it healthy. So it's not casual. It's not disposable. And it's not for experimentation. Okay, I go out with this guy and experiment. See, lah, he wants to give it to him. Lah, never mind. Lah, he'll come back on. Lah. Is it for experimentation? No, your body is not for experimentation. It is your body. Your body. We are God's vessels. Isn't it? God, we read in Genesis, how does Adam's body come about? God make Adam a body, a vessel. He breathed into his nostril, he become a living soul. That's what we are, a living soul created by God. So our body belongs to God. And as a Christian, we know that once you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. What does it mean? You are a temple of the Holy God. What does it mean? You belong to God. Your body belongs to God. You are just a steward until you see God, then God will give you a glorified body. Meanwhile, it's an earthly vessel. You've got to preserve it. It's not used and throw many times. It is a temple of the Holy God. Where do you find this? We find it in the book of Corinthians. Remember, your body. So the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. 1 Corinthians 6:13. That means that our body is for the Lord, the Lord for the body. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Right? We do not own our body, but we are stewards of our own body for the glory of God. Let me read a few passages of Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. You know, your body is God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Right? My dear friends, purity is not about avoiding sin. Keeping yourself holy, keeping yourself pure is not avoiding it. It is about honoring God with your body. For God is holy, we must be holy. Why must we honor God? Why must we keep our body holy? Because God is holy, we must be holy. Right? Do not succumb. Do not give in. Do not be tempted to physical intimacy. Be aware of the weakness and sinful nature of the flesh. Of your body. We are weak. Don't think we are very strong, you know. Right? Be aware. Be conscious of the internal struggle by the constant tug of war between the inner carnal desire and the divine call to adhere to the commandment of God to keep yourself pure. Be aware that that's a struggle. Be aware and don't think you are strong. Be aware of your weakness. The last point I'd like to say is that in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says that every sin that a man committed is without the body. But he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. In other words, when you commit fornication out of marriage, you sin against not only God, but also against yourself. This is the only sin where we read in the Bible where you commit sin against your own body, which is this. Okay? The other sin that we commit is outside, external, doesn't touch your body. But this is the sin that touch your body when you commit fornication. So this is a sin. You know, sin. So, conclusion. After there will be two questions after this, you know. But let us start with conclusion. The Bible teaches that sexual intimacies are intended to be within marriage. Not outside marriage, within marriage. And engaging in fornication is a breach of the covenant of marriage. Who actually institute marriage? God. Where was the first marriage in the world? Garden of Eden. Who was the minister conducting the marriage? God himself. Right? So it's something that we need to understand. It's a covenant. God instituted this. It's between husband and wife in the presence of God. Nobody can break it. Of course, when we talk of marriage, there are many things in marriage which we won't touch today because it's another long sharing itself. But here, we talk about courtship. If you have the right courtship, if you conduct yourself well in the courtship, if you know what you want in courtship, you will find that your marriage will be long-lasting and lesser problem. Not saying there's no problem. There will still be problem because the human inside us will still struggle. But you will see that you will be having a better, much managed marriage because you know the Word of God. You know that God has given you the wisdom within the marriage and how you conduct yourselves. So we won't talk about marriage itself because there are many questions also that relates to marriage, but we don't talk about. You talk about if you get your courtship right, your marriage will be more fulfilling, more long-lasting because God is in the center of it all. So, maintaining purity in Christian courtship is about not about physical act against your own body, right? As you know, the body is our Holy Spirit. I mean, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Fornication is a sin and prevents one from entering the kingdom of heaven. You know, the fornication in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says that in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it lists a few sins that you cannot enter the heaven. And fornication is specifically spelled out that fornicators will not enter into heaven. There's no question about it. It's specifically pointed out in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. And fornicators are, let me repeat, fornicators are specifically listed out, written, they shall not enter the kingdom of God. So what are the pointers? I believe that believers are to, of course, we are Christian, we always seek God for wisdom. We are to seek God and rely on His grace to resist temptation in courtship. Since we talk about courtship, we are talking about courtship. Seek God in your courtship. Seek God and align your life with God's will and commands. And commandments. Seek God. Know your Bible. That's why I say very important to know your Bible. The Bible is full of do's and don'ts. Eh? Seek God. Wait upon God and know His will. Do not desperate. Some of you or some people may be desperate to get themselves to get married. They may be desperate. They rush into any man would do or any lady would do. And they just go and get one and they end up in trouble. So do not be desperate. As I elaborate enough, I do not want to elaborate further. Seek God's will. Understand what is courtship, what is dating, and what is God's will for your life. If God's will for your life is to remain single, that's it. Don't rush into it. If courtship is courtship and marriage is for you, God will actually arrange it for you. That's it. Do not be desperate and make wrong decisions into rushing into dating websites, for example. As I said, dating websites, from what I understand from research that I read, is that many of them go in, register themselves for short-term fun. Not many are serious. Of course, they are serious ones. I would like to qualify that as well. But this is in general. So fill yourself with the Word of God to strengthen yourself. Draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh unto you. He will guide you. Right? And purity, very important, specifically pointed by Paul, purify God in your courtship. That means in your marriage as well. It's a daily decision, you know. Purity does not just come like that. You must make a deliberate, conscious effort to remain your sanctification or your purity or your holiness. Right? It's this effort. Just not a walk in the park. It's not easy because the devil out there always wants us to fail, to be a bad testimony for God. Satan is always out there to tell us, okay lah, one more time lah. Okay lah, the church talking nonsense lah. Today modern, you know, the Bible written 2,000 years ago is not relevant to today's practice. Today's practice is what? Okay lah, to go on dating is okay lah. To give yourself to one another is okay lah because it's your own body lah. Who can ask? You're all adults. So these are the Satan's lies. So be careful. So keep yourself pure. It's a deliberate, conscious effort. Do not succumb. So it's a daily decision. Set boundaries. Christians will set boundaries. I touched on it earlier. That is to do and not to do. Because the old man will tell us it's okay. The Bible teaches the relationship between the church and the Lord. Remember, the Bible says the church is the bride of God. Church is the bride of God. And Christ, God, is the bridegroom. And the church is to remain what? Chaste and pure for the wedding of the Lamb. Similarly, we are to keep ourselves pure for our husband or for our wife. Just that Christ expects the church to be chaste and pure when there's a marriage, there's a groom. We are to remain pure. Just like a church. So there's no negotiation about it. Right? So do not just follow the world. Be aware Satan is active there to destroy the family foundation, to destroy the lives of Christians. So the others will say, Christians are also like that. We also like that. Why should I be Christians? So be careful. Be aware of your Christian witnessing. For Christians, it's always, I said, avoid isolation in compromised setting. When you do courtship, avoid to go to places that are dark where two of you are around, that you are tempted. To avoid that, to avoid physical escalation, don't say one kiss would do, then go to two kiss will go to three kisses, after, you know, the rest follows. Don't open the floodgates. In other words, avoid escalation. No, in the first place. Stop it there. Guard emotion dependency. That means be careful of emotions. Okay, the next one is be equally yoked. In the courtship, it's good to make sure that you, if you have the faith, look for a person who have the same faith to avoid any problems later on. And also be accountable to yourself. See, as you say, as you set your standards, set the boundaries. If you go wrong, say, I'm wrong. I won't repeat that again. Don't say, I'm wrong already. Never mind, I continue doing it. Because you don't respect your boundaries. So each one of us must respect our boundaries when we set standards for ourselves. Especially courtship very easily, you know. Men can be very sweet mouthed as well. Female, of course, I don't say female are not sweet mouthed. Sometimes also there are sweet mouthed ladies. Men are also tempted. So be accountable to yourself. Now say, never mind. Let's move on. Wrong means wrong. Right means right. They move on. Okay? No means no. Now say, one more time or once only. Well, after that, no more. After all, I'm going to marry you. What's wrong with us getting more intimate to know one another? What's wrong with it? You're going to get married already. What? And say, no means no. That's where your boundary is. Don't give in. If you really love me, wait for me until our wedding. That is out of respect. That is out of serious commitment. If the person cannot wait, do you think he's serious about you? He's going to live for you for the rest of his life, you know, and he cannot wait a bit longer. Think about it. It's about commitment. If he's going to commit himself to stay himself away from you during courtship, what do you think his whole life long? Do you think he will retain his commitment in other things as well? So be careful. A question you have to ask yourself. Right? And flee from temptations, right? Flee from temptations. Like Joseph. Remember Joseph? He was tempted by Potiphar's wife. They said, okay, now my sins, he gave in to me, he seduced me, okay, I join her. What do you do? He knows about fleeing from temptation of fornication. He ran. So are you going to be Joseph? Or are you going to be someone else? That David getting someone's wife, temptation.
So score chip must be the light. Don't say, oh, I got a secret question. Don't tell people I'm quoting this guy. Don't tell. Don't tell people. No, courtship must be in the out there in the light. So you know there's commitment, there's purity. You know that what you want, people will support you, people will pray for you. Do not hide from your parents. Do not hide from your pastor. Do not hide from church members. Be proud enough to bring the person in. If the person said, no, I don't want to go to your pastor, don't tell your mother, what do you think he's hiding? He wants to play with you. If he's serious with you, don't you think he's proud to be associated with what you are doing? Think about it. Think about it. Okay? Do not be taken in by sweet talk. Do not be taken by sweet talk. Okay? If you are fallen, come back to the Lord, confess, and do not remain in your guilt. Come back and make good. Make it right with God. Make it right with yourself. Make it right with your bodies. Make it right with your conscience. Do not continue with the guilt. If you have fallen, come back. Of course, the church also conducts marriage counseling. Most churches conduct counseling. When marriage counseling, I believe, should be conducted not when the person says, we are getting married, we are going to prepare a wedding, let's go for marriage counseling. Marriage counseling may point out certain things that are not right. And then you're really preparing for your wedding. Do you think marriage counseling works? What do you think? You're already blindly in love. You're getting married already. Rings have already been exchanged already. You think, okay, sorry, you know, a lot of things we didn't do. We're going to call it off. No, you're already blinded. You still will get married. So marriage counseling should be before you get serious. So that the person knows, both parties knows what to expect in a marriage, in a Christian marriage. Only after you agree, then say, okay, let us be serious, get married, because I'm serious and this long-term commitment. When you are committed blindly in love, getting planned to marry, the two parents have already met up, you think, what do you think will happen? You know the answer. I'm not going to tell you the answer. You know the answer. Of course, very difficult. So a marriage counseling should be, seek marriage counseling with your potential partner or spouse before you all get serious, before you even plan for a wedding, before you really fall in love. You know, love is blind, no? Whatever anybody says, you justify. You won't listen to people. The worst is you leave the church. You're on your own. You don't get the blessings from God. Okay? So, those of you, and also for those of us who are hearing, if we have people to counsel, our young ones, our loved ones, our sons, our children, our daughters, or our niece or nephew, counsel them in this manner. Seek counseling before you plan your wedding, before you fall in love. That's the best way to prevent yourself from heartache. Because a Christian marriage is a lifelong relationship. Alright? So it's better to be short-term pain compared to lifelong relationship pain. And you're not allowed to divorce in a Christian setting. Unless you're willing to say, oh, I'm willing to divorce, but in the church setting, I believe we don't. Marriage is lifelong. Okay, so I quickly wrap up, and I hope that you have taken the three takeaways which I spoke about before I started. Is about difference between courtship and dating. Does it lead to marriage? I hope I've touched on that. You know, the courtship definitely leads to marriage because it's planned. Dating may or may not, and there's a lot of other issues involved. So I hope you have taken point number one away. Dating and courtship are different. They have different KPIs, different interest groups, right? Different endpoints. Then second one is the do and don'ts in courtship. Purity, right? I hope you have taken away, right? Then also the elements that will lead to happy marriage. The three takeaway points, right? And with this, later on we've got two questions which I will share. And with this, let us now close with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I give you thanks, Lord, for thy word. I pray, and we look to thee, Lord, as a congregation also, for thy wisdom to lead us in matters of lifelong marriage, and even, Lord, before that, even in the matters of courtship, and may we know the difference between dating and courtship as well. May thy people, may we,
be discreet, be filled with the wisdom that we may know and to able to apply accordingly. That we should not misuse our body, abuse our body. And our body is not for experimentation as well, but to be pure and godly, to be used by Thee for Thy glory. Lord, help us to understand that our body belongs to Thee, belongs to God, for we are Thy children and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank You. Now may Thou be with us, Lord. May Thou continue to help us to walk in sanctification and honor Thee. Strengthen us where we are weak and convict us where we have compromised. And may Thou lead us in purity for Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.